Tadakia Quest, Chapter 3, Made by the Amish and Haitians. I jumped the shark and things moved too quickly thanks to someone, not naming names, Gwindo. Okay, so I didn't try to stop it. Having fun is more important than telling a good story, right? Right? Once again, sounding coming. Enjoy. Commands given to our hero are here. Responses and general information are here. You can use the arrows to navigate back and forth through the story.
This is the intro video. Once it's done playing, you can continue the story by pressing the arrow on the right. Tadakia Quest, Chapter 3, Horizon Stakes.
As I got here, those strangers are feeling of a deja vu. The grasshopper says he appears to be showing symptoms of the contamination. It had took too many patients, and they talked about their attempts to unlock Magica. It theorizes that Zagani could be an accidental guinea pig in those attempts. After analyzing Sakiani's blood, Grasshopper found that Sakiani is slowly mutating. At the current rate, he has about 28 hours before it takes its course. Emil reports that while Grasshopper was keeping watch on Sakiani, she looked into the command center computer. The doors all work on time locks, so somebody has to stay in the command center to open the doors. Zagani was thankfully only out for 20 minutes, but that can only leave about 40 minutes for the solar panels, no longer creating power. If they are to venture to the other buildings and hopefully cure Zagani before it's too late, they have to get that jelly so his wing can completely heal overnight. Who will man the control center and who will venture to the recreation building?
Amiel wins the vote.
Control has changed to Amiel.
I asked Grasshopper about this magical stuff.
Grasshopper was only told the basics, but it apparently it was an ongoing attempt to grant special powers to their race. With Magica, they could create fire from nothing, heal wounds, and even summon magic beasts. As far as Grasshopper is aware, they had never succeeded in going past their theoretical stages. He theorizes that while he was offline, they finally pulled it off, and then chaos occurred.
There isn't much time to spare. Amiel leads Sakani to the command center, with the main screen all prepared to handle security. Sakani says that he is not very good with computers, but he'll do his best. Amiel explains how he can open doors and switch camera views, and he can even use the loudspeakers, assuming they still work, to communicate with Emil. She can use hand signals to communicate back. It's not as handy as radios would be, but they don't have time to go searching for some.
What should Emil do now?
Check the cameras to see what's in that there recreation building.
Well, there doesn't appear to be any monsters in the room, at least. The four of them can't be seen. Emil will be unable to communicate with Sakiani in any meaningful way while in these rooms.
If the recreation building seems safe, venture there.
Sakiani opens the door for Emil, and she waltzes right on in. The reception area doesn't seem to have any actual reception. There's a screen that presumably played some kind of video. Emil's high security code should enable her to get through some doors, but she'll need Sakiani for the rest.
Have Sakiani test the loudspeakers so Emil knows if she can count on them.
Sakani's voice is heard over the loudspeaker system. He asks if she can hear him. She nods. He says he feels kind of weird. His arm feels off. He sounds scared as he asks her to please hurry. All her life, she was told that Tazakians were bloodthirsty monsters. But Sakani is nothing like that. He'd probably pee his pants again if a fly landed on him.
poke the screen.
Poking the screen yields no response. It must not be powered on.
It measures self and reflection.
Hey there, sexy. Is it hot in here or is it just you? Emil cares not what the Lion fashion magazines claim females should look like. She is beautiful. Her spikes are slick.
Her form is muscular but also graceful. And she is quite curvy. Even Sakani has to have noticed how smoking she is. Not that it matters to her if he does or not. Emil gains +1 self-esteem.
Go to rest, Barrier.
Looks like this place is fairly untouched by whatever chaos has claimed the strange place. There's also no obvious items to pick up. How boring. It looks like the storage room is to the left, with about 30 minutes left. It looks like she's going to have no trouble making it back in time.
Sakani, inspect arm.
Sakani is currently an indirect player character.
Emil suddenly remembers that strange growth she saw in his arms. Ugh. It appeared fleshy and stuck out from his feathers. She didn't bring his attention to it because he seemed to be inches away from a complete breakdown. But he's probably discovered it on his own by now.
Check behind the couches for anything of note. There doesn't seem to be anything behind them. They're bolted down so they can't be moved.
Check storage.
The door is locked and the meal security card doesn't work. Guess this is a good time to kick down storage door. Emil kicks the shit out of the door. Oh, that was such a horrible idea. A soft click is heard as Sakani unlocks the door for her. There are several boxes in here. One of the boxes appears to be what she's looking for, but it's leaking a strange liquid. It's either purple or blue. Emil really hopes that liquid isn't the labiate gelatin. That would be bad. Add water to inventory. That shit coming out of the faucets is probably not portable.
Emil, add some water to the BIC.
Open medical supplies back and see what's leaking.
It looks like the container of antibiotics has leaked with age. Hopefully Kotapa has some of his own. Else they will be powerless against the mighty foe of infection. There are 2 jars of Lepidze Yelaton, some bandages, and a medical kit. Apply towel to Ladiate Yellow, antibiotic liquid. The towel has little effect on the purple/blue antibiotic fluid. It is dried long, long ago.
Yes, Christ, insects, dry image.
Crates aren't very tasty, however the food is amazingly well preserved. So Emil constructs a sandwich which takes 5 minutes. Emil has a little trouble enjoying her sandwich. Emil hears something over the loudspeakers. Sakani sounds anxious. He probably doesn't appreciate the fact that she's eating his sandwich when his tzatziki and adi is at stake.
Stick the whole medical supplies box in the BIC.
Save half a sandwich in food container. The share with the candy for sandwiches are delicious.
Oh, me, raise the entire medical box and half a sandwich to the inventory. It looks like she's discovered a loophole in the BIC's 10 item limit.
After we're done here, I'll go back to the crybaby, Sakani.
Emil doesn't know why her mind has been so mean to him lately. She finds his cowardice somewhat adorable. The years of propaganda and her mother's constant rants seem to melt away when she sees how helpless and vulnerable the Tzatzikian truly is. What the fuck?
As cool as no fine friend is, with deadly weapon ready, you know, just in case.
Cloak first, then ask questions after.
Emil decides that cloaking might be the best choice. The monster seems confused. It begins to sniff the air. Emil carefully treads towards the door. Emil decloaks so Sakani can see her.
She hopes he gets the idea and opens the goddamn door. A soft click is heard. The beast hears it and turns to face Emil. Emil quickly opens the door and enters the reception area. She slams the door closed and prays Sakani locks the door before she is killed. Click. Smash. Bang. The sounds of footsteps fade away. The monster seems to have given up for now. Mio's heart is pounding incredibly fast. Sakani is heard over the loudspeaker. He asks if she's okay. Mio says she'll be okay when her heart stops beating like a hummingbird's wings. She then realizes he can't hear her. She's glad nobody saw that.
Don't stop, get out! Get out!
Make sure Sakani opens the door back first to point at it or something. They're cloaked just for good measure before proceeding.
Emil gestures. Sakani says that he'll lead the monster away from her. It seems to be heading to the swimming pool area. Emil cloaks and heads back inside. What the? The door is locked. Emil realizes that in her panic she dropped her high security card. Sakani doesn't know enough about the main computer to access the security system for this building. So Emil's going to have to find another way in if she doesn't have any better ideas.
I marvel at the newfound ability to see red.
You just had to ruin it for her.
Also marvel at missing drippage bloodstains.
Emil wishes someone would stop using the wrong templates.
Can we shoot the lock?
Emil inspects the lock. It looks like a very fun killer puzzle. She can't wait to be completely unable to solve it. The door is now unlocked.
Go back to the control room and bring Sakani to the med bay.
Emil heads to the control room. Emil waves to Sakani. She says that she got the Yeleton, so now they can restore his ability to fly. Sakani just stares at her in silence for a moment and jumps out of the chair. Sakani hugs Emil toilet. She says he was so scared that she was going to die in there. He was frightened that he wouldn't get to repay the hug he owed her.
You don't owe me anything, Sakani. You saved my life, thank you.
They end their embrace after a few moments and head to the medical room. There isn't much time remaining. Grasshopper begins his work on Sakani. He winces and seems like he's struggling to keep his composure. Sakani doesn't have to act strong for her. He acted rationally earlier. He had to have, or else the door wouldn't have opened. She knows he's brave and wishes she could tell him that.
Oh, they quickly headed the bunker room. Long after they had unlocked the door, the lights began to dim. It'd only be a few more minutes before the place completely loses power. It is at this point that Mia wishes she had brought a flashlight.
Fixing the light seems like it might be pretty difficult.
Unless they run away to let the sandwich on fire or something. Neither Mia nor Sakani managed to think of a way to create the most official light. They say that their time would be better spent getting as much done before total darkness as possible.
Hey, speaking of sandwich, Emil should give Sakani his part. I can give him some water to drink to help him recover after all that blood loss.
He uses wire cutters to cut the strange cloth away from the floor. Emil gives Sakani the BIC and tells him he can have the sandwich. He thanks Emil and begins chowing down. He says it tastes a lot better than his rations would have. Emil cuts away at the strange cloth. Underneath seems to be some wood. It would appear there was a hole here, and rather than fix it properly, they just nailed some wood down and glued the cloth over it.
Speculate on the monster. He sure looked like a mutated lion to me.
A male sits down and ponders about this strange monster. It did look like kind of like a lion, didn't it? Sakani agrees. Grasshopper mentioned that this magic could summon magic beasts. Could the monster have been a beast? Or did they use the magic to convert a lion into one?
Zagani ponders for a moment and then says they should call them magic beasts. Emil asks him why he wants to call them that, and he responds that it sounds kinda cool. He must be trying to make light of the situation to keep his nerves in check.
Take stock of inventory, drink a bit of water before it gets too dark to see it, and wind up spilling it all. Emil asks if she can have some water from Zagani's water container. His water is a little more trustworthy than the water she found in a closet that's several hundred years old. Quickly get battery from the medical room. If you don't already have it, then take out wire and pencil. Split pencil open with wire cutters to extract lead. Wrap wire all around the lead piece and connect the battery for light. The broken GPS should have a battery in it too, right? Perhaps you'll need to go back then.
There is no longer enough power to unlock the door, but Emil manages to use the GPS battery instead. Zagani asks what she's doing, and she explains that at a pinch, this will provide emergency lighting for a few minutes. Zagani excitedly compliments her for being so clever and resourceful.
Is it possible to move around and get the bugs? If so, try and position one over that wood. You don't want to chance any creepy crawlies bursting through it in the middle of the night.
Even Mudgy Beast would have trouble getting through the wood and the bed. So octopus that are relatively clean and comfortable and prepared to settle in for a long, giddy night of a session in absolute darkness while only over covers. But altogether, I'm not picky. Zagani picks a bit for himself and becomes preparing it for his eventual slumber. Emil isn't sure she should sit beside him so they can talk or suggest they bundle up for warmth. It's already starting to get kind of cold. Or she could just take the other bed.
Dragon cloaking device power. Gotta take stock of that too, assuming its power is a concern.
According to the power light, the suit has about 30 minutes of cloaking power left.
Meekly suggest sleeping together for warmth. Sort of mumble and toe the ground and poke your fingers together while glancing away while you ask.
Emil cutely asks Zagani if she could sleep with him, you know, for warmth, if it's okay with him.
Zagani says that it's fine with him, if she doesn't mind him taking off his shirt and pants. Apparently, Tazakians don't sleep with their clothes on.
She says that's completely fine with her and there's absolutely no reason why it wouldn't be, none whatsoever. Besides, his feathers are really soft. She didn't say that last part out loud.
Warmth and possibly safety? It's probably best they're within whisper distance, just in case.
Yes, whispering is important. Zagani begins to disrobe, Emil wishes she had thought to bring to the armors. The cloaking suit is not very comfortable, the electronics alone were a good 40 pounds. The lights are almost completely out, but it's still fairly early. At least she has someone to talk to while she waits to be tired enough to actually sleep.
Yes, cool. Yes, Connie's close to sleeping.
Emil sheepishly asks if she can borrow Zagani's shirt. She decides against wearing his pants, considering what they've been through today. Zagani says, sure. Emil removes her waistband and prepares to take off her shirt. Zagani offers a friendly wave. Emil asks if he would kindly close his eyes. Emil is thankful that she's braver than Zagani. She would really hate to have to deal with soiled underwear. She asks Zagani for a shirt, which he then hands to her. The shirt is a little big, which in this situation is actually preferable. It's really soft and comfortable. She'll have an easy time sleeping in this.
While waiting, asks Emil about her home and family.
Emil already knows all about her home and family.
She decides to instead to tell Zagani a bit about her family. Her father was a very kind man and would always bring her a present when he was on leave. 4 years ago, he stopped returning. He was killed in action by Tazakian. Zagani apologizes. Emil says that this isn't his fault. Emil's mother went kind of crazy after that, and life at home was so chaotic that she was actually kind of glad when she got drafted into the Lion Armed Forces. She also has an older brother who she's very close with. He's in a different company than she is, but they write each other all the time. He's currently planning on marrying a girl he's been with for the past 2 years after his 3-year tour is complete. Isn't it good? Emil and Zagani realized it was getting pretty cold. Apparently they were distracted until now.
Oh, where girls have blankets while chatting?
Emil knows that they may be warmer if they share a blanket. Zagani says he sees a logic in that. Ask Zagani about his family. Zagani says that his parents had avoided fighting in the war instead of running a restaurant there. His mother always had faith in him, even though he's kind of a coward and not very good at anything. His father, he seemed kind of disappointed in him. Zagani has two brothers and a sister. They're a lot smarter and braver than he is. The brothers, they would have smashed through all of the doors. The rest of the magic beast to death and have flown out of here with nary a way. Emil says that he shouldn't be so hard on himself. She should be hard on her. If any of his family were her instead, she wouldn't have met him. And she would not have realized that there are good, kind Zagians out there.
Chapter End.